The good news for today is found in Matthew chapter 3. You can find this on page 1133 in your Bibles. At that time, John the Baptist came to the desert of Judea and started preaching. "Turn away from your sins," he said, "because the kingdom of heaven is near." John was the man the prophet Isaiah was talking about when he said, "Someone is shouting in the desert, 'Prepare a road for the Lord, make a straight path for him to travel.'" John's clothes were made of camel's hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. People came to him from Jerusalem, from the whole province of Judea, and from all over the country near the River Jordan. They confessed their sins, and he baptized them in the Jordan. When John saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him to be baptized, he said to them, "You snakes, who told you that you could escape from the punishment God is about to send? Do those things that will show that you have turned from your sins. And don't think you can escape punishment by saying that Abraham is your ancestor. I tell you that God can take these rocks and make descendants of Abraham. The axe is ready to cut down the trees at the roots. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. I baptize you with water to show that you have repented, but the one who will come after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He is much greater than I am, and I am not good enough even to carry his sandals. He has his winnowing shovel with him to thresh out all the grain. He will gather his wheat into his barn, but he will burn the chaff in a fire that never goes out." The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, aren't those nice words? Turn away from your sin. God's gonna burn the chaff in the fire. How do you think you can escape punishment? Not exactly a text I look forward to preaching on today. I read it and I'm trying to find, how does this connect, this picture of John the Baptist, this guy in camel's hair clothing and a leather belt, eating locusts and wild honey out in the desert? How does this connect with our December lives right now, right here? How does this connect with Christmas decorating and entertaining and work Christmas parties and all that kind of stuff? All the school holiday concerts and programs. And of course, there's always sporting events for kids to go to. How does this connect with shopping at Target or Walmart or on Amazon? And what about all the family struggles that seem to never go away? There's always someone who is sick. There's divorce, other types of estrangement, death, and grief. And I feel like this past week I have just heard lots of lament about change and the stress of the holidays. It feels a little out of touch, doesn't it? I mean, what kind of getup is a camel's hair thing anyway, right? You know, maybe you'd see some crazy Hollywood celebrity doing some, you know, fashion something with that, but when was the last time you went shopping for camel's hair clothing? And locusts and wild honey, well, that's not something I'm going to put on my table. And the desert? Well, you know, you look outside, that maybe sounds kind of nice, but that's certainly not Minnesota landscape. And these Pharisees and Sadducees, well, who are these guys anyway? And then to top it all off, John is saying, turn away from your sins. And I want to say to John, don't you think I would if I could? And when I'm talking about sin, I'm not just talking only about our own actions and behaviors, although that's a part of it, but I'm also talking about just our lives and how imperfect they are and how broken they can feel sometimes and how struggling and hurting and tired we can be. I mean, we're trying to turn away from all of that, right? So I know many of us just work harder at doing what's right, and we think, well, you know, if we just get it right this time, maybe it'll be better. And so we keep sometimes beating our heads against the wall. Or we just get busy and try to deny that there is things going wrong, right? And so we're just running here and there, parents taking their kids every night of the week to some activity or sporting event or some such school thing like that. Or, you know, there's all these self-help books and programs and, you know, online exercise things that people try to do to make themselves better. And here in the upper Midwest, especially, I think, well, you know, we pull ourselves up by the bootstrap. We are self-reliant. We are going to do it by ourselves. We don't need help. And so, sin, what's that? We're just looking forward, trying to do the right thing, trying to get it right, thinking that maybe just by our own actions we can change. I think the Pharisees and the Sadducees fall into this kind of mindset. They were two different groups of Jewish leaders, and they actually didn't get along so well. But here's John, someone neither of them liked. And so, you know the saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, this brings them together. And the Pharisees thought they could focus on the law, the Jewish religious law, and trying to get that right and living that out perfectly, and that would make them right with God. And the Sadducees felt that they could focus on right worship and ritual, and in the temple that was their focus, and having that just right, and that's how they were going to get right. And they thought that all their power and privilege in these places, and the Sadducees especially, were known to be wealthy, and so their money and power and privilege could excuse them from having to think about being sinful. And so John calls them snakes. People that are not able to acknowledge, maybe, their own sinfulness. But isn't that all of us, too? Martin Luther's, one of his definitions of sin is being turned in on yourself. That's one of my favorite definitions of what sin is. When we're too turned in to look and acknowledge what else is going on, we're too turned in to turn to God, we're too turned in to think about anyone else. And then I'm also reminded of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, and he talks about wanting to not sin and to do better. But he says, I don't do what I would like to do. Instead, I do what I would, what I hate. And even though the desire to do good is in me, I am not able to do it. Can you relate to that? We can try to turn away from sin, but it feels like we have a hard time fixing our own lives. And honestly, there are some things that are beyond our ability to fix. So how do we turn away from sin? John is clearly saying this, and another way this gets translated in other versions is repent. Repent. And he's talking about punishment and fire. This really feels like judgment, and it feels heavy, and it feels like we're being beaten down. I don't like it. And I struggled with this. But here's the thing. Judgment and salvation are two sides of the same coin. If God isn't looking at us and judging us and seeing where we fall short, how is God going to reach out and save us? Why would he have an interest in that? If God is not looking at our situation and knowing us and knowing all about us, our failings and our shortcomings and our struggles and our hurts, there would be no need for salvation. And so to turn away from our sins or to repent means that we have to admit that our lives are not perfect, that they are not all that God desires them to be. But that's also good news. Our lives aren't all that God desires them to be. It means God wants them to be different, and God will work to change them. It's good news that the way things are is not the way things will stay. We turn away from sin to turn toward God, to acknowledge that God's presence is active in the world. And if we want to turn away from sin, it means saying, I can't, God. I can't get this right. Help me. And isn't there relief in that? That we don't do it by ourselves? Now, maybe we also have to take a little closer look at this text about this crazy guy, John the Baptist. What is it with this camel hair clothing? In our modern context, we miss this connection maybe, but it would have reminded the hearers of this gospel about Elijah, the Old Testament prophet Elijah. That was a description of how Elijah was dressed. And so this reminds the people of God, and it reminds us that Elijah was expected to return to help save God's people before the last days. Elijah's returning is a sign of hope. And John, out there in the desert acting like an Old Testament prophet, reminds us of all the other prophets that came before him. And yes, these prophets pronounced judgment, but they also pronounced and preached hope. Time and time again, the prophets judged God's people, and time again, God saved and rescued them. This is not just about punishment and fire, but it is about hope. It is about returning from exile. And right there at the Jordan River, that Jordan River is a place that the people of Israel crossed over to go into the promised land. It is another sign of hope. You may be wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Your lives right now may feel like a wilderness wandering. But you cross over into the Jordan, and you are free. The kingdom of heaven is near. So maybe repentance isn't quite what we think about when we hear fire and punishment. That's not what God desires for us. It is a word of hope. God is coming to change our lives. That fire will refine us and change us. Turning away from our sin isn't about us needing to get it right so that we can make ourselves right with God. But it is about realizing that God has already come near to us. It is about admitting that we don't do this life on our own. And it is about remembering that only God has the power to make things right and to transform our lives. The text is about judgment, but the good news is that that means God sends God's Son to change our lives. So my challenge for you this Advent is to embrace the gift of repentance. Turn away from your sin and turn to God. And as John says, do those things that will show that you have turned away from your sins. In other words, let your lives reflect the gift of God's salvation through your love, your forgiveness, your peace, and grace towards one another and the world. Amen.